Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, founded by researcher, speaker, and therapist Dr. Tom Wagner, offering mini retreats with live music and online resources to build resilience and community. SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, May 12th. I'm Abby Larico. The EF3 tornado that hit North St. Louis last May highlighted the decades of disinvestment in the community.
I worry about the neighborhood. I have no doubt that we're going to come back. It's going to be here for a very, very long time.
Families who want to stay in their homes say the city needs to act quickly to reduce population loss and vacancies. That story's coming up on The Gateway. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer announced the city is demolishing 120 homes damaged in the May tornado that aren't eligible for federal reimbursement. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports the city will spend $10 million in state funding.
The majority of the properties were vacant and condemned before the May 2025 tornado, so they're not eligible for reimbursement from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. STLPR has learned the city knew in June that FEMA typically doesn't pay to demolish previously condemned homes. But Spencer said Friday that experts told her FEMA might make an exception because the disaster was so large.
It is my firm belief to this day still that we should have received that, and that in other iterations of FEMA, we would have received those funds.
The mayor's team says 36 of these demolitions are actively underway or have been completed. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The state-appointed board that oversees the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department says the city of St. Louis needs to spend another $68 million on the department in the current fiscal year. The police commissioners filed a lawsuit yesterday saying the city must include RAM settlement and reserve funds when calculating general revenue. The city is required to spend at least 22% of its general revenue on police in the 2026 calendar year. The $68 million is the difference between what the city provided in the budget that ends June 30th and the newly calculated minimum funding allocation. Any ruling will impact the fiscal year 2027 budget that aldermen are currently debating. The suit is the latest in the legal fight over state control of the SLMPD. The head of the St. Louis Water Division says his department will not bring in enough money next fiscal year to cover its operating costs. Director of Public Utilities Neeraj Patel told the city's budget committee yesterday that expenses are expected to be about $3 million higher than revenue. Patel told the committee that its contingency fund is at zero. That means there's not enough money in this year's budget to fully cover expenses like treatment chemicals or the electric bill. Patel says the department will likely fill some of the gap using salaries budgeted for vacant positions.
Even if we freeze hiring to pay for the treatment chemicals, to pay for the electrical, and to pay for the emergencies, those three historically have required a transfer from our contingent fund, and that's just not there right now.
A study done last year says the department needs a series of rate increases over the next 6 years to stay solvent. If aldermen adopt all of them, customers would pay about $29 more per month by 2032. Two tornado-damaged St. Louis Public Library locations will reopen next week. As St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports, the library will offer new resources to North City a year after the May 16th tornado.
The Julia Davis and Cabany locations received repairs after the tornado last year to treat fallen ceilings and water damage. Now, Julia Davis Library will rent electric and hand tools to help residents rebuild after the storm. Justin Strutman with the St. Louis Public Library says the resources are intended for residents in the library's Penrose neighborhood, who were hit hardest by the storm.
It's amazing what libraries do, and the fact that we can be a part of making sure that that's returned to the community is amazing.
The library is also adding a memory lab to digitize VHS and cassette tapes, photo negatives, and other older media. Both tornado-damaged locations will resume normal operating hours on May 18th. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Two North St. Louis County library branches will begin offering help to survivors of intimate partner violence. St. Louis Survivors Legal Support will provide free assistance starting next week for residents seeking to file protective orders against their abusive partners. The group will be available to assist survivors of intimate partner violence from 9 a.m. to noon on Mondays at the Lewis and Clark Library Branch and Tuesdays at the Natural Bridge location. Survivors Legal Support says the goal is to reduce the length and severity of the abuse. The group points to court data showing 2/3 of the county's protective orders come from North County residents. Providing legal assistance at the libraries will allow survivors to file petitions sooner without potentially having to take several bus rides to the county courthouse in Clayton. About 200 members of St. Louis's Bosnian community turned out last night to support the national soccer team of Bosnia and Herzegovina. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, the team's upcoming World Cup appearance is shaping up to be a major event for one of the largest Bosnian communities outside of Europe.
Bosnia and Herzegovina surprised the soccer world by qualifying for this year's FIFA Men's World Cup. The win transcended sports for many St. Louisans who came to the city as refugees from the Bosnian War in the 1990s. Mercita Planic immigrated here as a child.
Honestly, it means so much. It means that we finally recovered after the war. That's really what our community feels right now.
In a bonus for St. Louis Bosnians, the team will train here for 6 days and play Panama in an exhibition match at Energizer Park on June 6th. Its World Cup matches are further away, though, in Toronto, Seattle, and outside Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
The EF3 tornado that ripped through North St. Louis almost 1 year ago now exposed the city's long history of neglect in the area, which, to many people, is the driving factor of the city's slow response. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports many North St. Louis families are worried that long-term displacement will increase vacancies and create population loss.
So this is the house.
Tracy Dickerson carefully makes her way over the ruined porch of her husband's childhood home on Cabinet Avenue. A year ago, an EF3 tornado tore through the neighborhood, damaging the home so badly it now needs to be demolished. The two-story white brick home stands out in a neighborhood of historic red brick homes, each of which with a unique twist on the architecture famous in North St. Louis neighborhoods.
We got out all we could, that we could actually get out.
Dickerson's husband, Harvey, grew up in this home. His parents bought it in the late 70s, and her mother-in-law, Bertha, lived in the house up until the day of the storm, who wasn't there when the tornado hit the neighborhood. The house, like hundreds of others in the area, is set to be demolished. When is still unclear. But the demolition will mark the end of a home the Dickersons hoped would stay in their family for generations to come.
I worry about the neighborhood. I have no doubt that we're going to come back. I have no doubt that Academy is going to come back, and it's going to be here for a very, very long time.
In many ways, North St. Louis was the worst place in the city that the tornado could have hit. Long before the twister, the city's historic black neighborhoods had weathered different types of storms that made it nearly impossible to recover from the damage that occurred last May. Homes were undervalued and insurance was too expensive for residents who faced years of housing segregation, local government disinvestment, and white flight. North City's population is nowhere near as dense as it was in its heyday. Since the tornado touched down, vacancies have accelerated and residents continue to fear their neighborhoods may not recover, and that help is never coming. According to St. Louis officials, there are more than 7,500 damaged properties from the storm. And of that damage, they found about 1,400 vacant homes. Ness Sandoval is a demographer and St. Louis University professor. He says vacancies accelerate population loss and can decimate neglected communities of color.
After the tornado, I suggested you're probably going to lose more people because of the aftershock of the city failing to respond.
Sandoval says to ensure the city would retain its population, demolitions should have been done last fall. He warns city officials need to pick up the pace to help curb prolonged displacement because he says Black population loss is not only a city issue, it's becoming a statewide problem. St. Louis had a well-established Black population in the early 1900s. Many laid down roots in the Ville neighborhood during the first wave of the Great Migration. The neighborhood was a thriving area filled with churches, schools, businesses, and entertainment. In 1910, there were about 44,000 African Americans in St. Louis. And by 1940, there were more than 100,000 Black people in the city, mainly in North City. The population continued to grow for several decades. Colin Gordon is a history professor at the University of Iowa. He says white developers and realtors saw the influx in Black families as a problem and began placing racial restrictive covenants on properties outside the Ville.
What the realtors were trying to do was basically create a boundary around that neighborhood with these restrictions so that all of the new migrants had to sort of cram into just the neighborhood of the Ville, and they couldn't sort of spread the boundaries.
However, this didn't stop Black families from moving into the Ville during the mid-1900s. And this pushed many white families who didn't want to live by Black families to St. Louis County for new subdivisions and municipalities. And when the Supreme Court outlawed racially restrictive housing covenants in 1948, white families dramatically moved out of the area. Gordon says white flight left an indelible mark on North St. Louis.
While African Americans could increase their home ownership, they didn't get the returns on home ownership that white families were getting, like the passing wealth on to the next generation and having a property that increases in value.
And the decades of neglect leads North St. Louis to where it is today. About 3 miles away from Tracy Dickerson's house in Academy Sherman Park, sits Jackie Dupree's family home in the Penrose neighborhood. From the outside, it looks abandoned because the windows are boarded up and a tarp is on the roof.
Hi. Is it cold enough for you?
Dupree moved into her spacious three-bedroom house off the 4400 block of San Francisco Avenue in August 1965 with her family. She was just 3 years old. The 64-year-old says the people on her street have always been tight-knit. Many have been living there as long as she has, and Dupree knows them all.
Let me see. Lady across the street is still, what's the original member? Pam. Let me see. Joanne. Debbie. Who else?
However, some of the original 4400 San Francisco block members are either displaced from the tornado or knee-deep into home repairs.
This house got messed up. Next door got messed up. Every house across the street, the back of their house got messed up.
Some families in the area had homeowners insurance, so repairs are underway. However, Dupree did not. Her legacy home was passed down to her in 2018 after her mom died. She had insurance, but let it lapse in March because the monthly payments of about $560 became unaffordable. Dupree did receive some money for emergency items right after the storm. Just recently, she was awarded home repair help from a local nonprofit, but she's been waiting a year now to get the bulk of the work done. She says her life is at a standstill and is left with a lot of unanswered questions.
Why are, some places getting more help than others? Some people's houses still haven't even been touched to, be repaired. Imagine folks living and still, trying to live in their house or trying to get back to their house. And insurance will only pay for so much for so long.
Though Dupree's home and others on the street are starting to get repaired, her greatest fear is coming home to a street marred by vacancies, like many other blocks across North St. Louis. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
That story was co-reported with STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri and edited by Jessica Rogan and Jonathan All. This week, St. Louis Public Radio is exploring the struggle to recover from the tornado, the flailing government response, and the fight for North St. Louis. You can find our coverage, including a look at how these stories were reported, at stlpr.org/torn. Tomorrow, we'll hear why a group of neighbors decided to rebuild, the challenges they faced along the way, and the friendships forged out of tragedy. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.